Are you, like pretty much every parent of younger kids I know, looking for a smart entertainment option for your kids? Designed for kids ages 6 and up, Mysteries About True Histories, also known as Math, How Smart Is That?, is a weekly podcast full of time travel, puzzles, hidden equations, history, and humor. And while kids will enjoy the stories anchored around characters like troublesome trolls, pirate queens, and mysterious aunts, adults can benefit too. I admittedly delighted in learning a thing or two about Pythagoras and triangles in one episode. Every episode follows two best friends, Max and Molly, who work together to solve riddles and math equations during their time-traveling adventures. The series explores themes like the stories behind math, critical thinking, code breaking, pattern solving, and more, all weaving humor in with education to make learning fun. Episodes drop every Thursday and are about 15 minutes long, a great length for transition times during the day or a bedtime treat. So tune in to Mysteries About True Histories with your kids. You can follow and listen on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your pods. Welcome to the Edit Your Life podcast. I'm Christine Coe.
And I'm Asha Dornfest, and we're here to help you edit the unnecessary from your life so you have more room to enjoy the awesome.
We share practical ways to declutter your home, schedule, and mental space without getting bogged down by perfection.
And we believe that baby steps are the key to getting there.
Good morning, Asha. How are you?
I'm just fine. How are you doing this morning?
I'm good. I've kind of like, I've been running and going for about 2.5 hours already, so which I know is like really early on your side. So
I'm still getting coffee on board on my side.
Yeah. Listeners, you should know it's like 6 a.m. for Asha right now, but that's how dedicated she is to this show. Well, listen, you know, I was just telling you before we started that I had not eaten breakfast yet. So let's talk about food, and I'll get really hungry while we're recording. So one thing, the reason I'm thinking about this, one thing that has not changed through the pandemic is that we're still eating and prepping a lot and tweaking systems and feeling tired about cooking. I don't know, maybe that's just me, but I think we all are. And, you know, we just need to keep eating. So inspired by a few things, notably including a very impassioned conversation you and I had recently about squash.
Which, by the way, I ate again last night for dinner.
Okay, well, we're going to talk more about it.
We shall discuss.
We will discuss. I just thought it would be fun to talk about food. We love talking about food. Our listeners love talking about food. And did I already say we're still making so much food?
You know, it's so true. You know, and I feel like the food situation, while, you know, many of us have sort of gotten our heads around the basic changes in shopping and cooking that we have to do, I think it has changed again with back to school. You know, so many, you know, that sort of catch-as-catch-can that you sometimes can do a little bit more during the summer with food and lunch and, you know, stuff like that, that's changed again. And I feel like, you know, once again, we're in a place where we need to rethink, you know, how to not only make sure the food, you know, happens and is in the house, but we also have to conserve our own mental energy with, you know, how much we're expending on supporting our, you know, our kids, those of us who have kids, or just the reality of heading into the fall, you know, with jobs and all that stuff. So I feel like we are at a moment where we need to both simplify meals and shopping, but also keep encouraging food independence among our kids. And, you know, that continues to be, that's a thing. That's a thing that requires thought and energy. And there's not a lot of like mental space and energy floating around these days.
Yeah, it's a journey. And I'm glad you brought this up because, you know, it's funny when I was thinking about this episode originally, you know, my mind was kind of around dinner prep and stuff, but you're so right. And I have found that, because my kids are on, their schedules are just different, given that they're in elementary and high school. So every time, I mean, on a typical day, I'm basically downstairs because I'm sort of managing the dog and I'm kind of HQ downstairs, not in my office, but just in the main space of the house. And so their lunches are different. And I have needed, at least certainly my older kid, to be like, okay, you need to get your lunch because I can't break twice for lunch.
Right.
It's just too much. So Yeah, there's just so much attention switching, I find. And yes. So the more that we can simplify food, the better.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And I think the other, you know, when I think about it from my daughter's perspective, who's in online school, her ability to take breaks, you know, there is a schedule, but sometimes there isn't a lot of time. And so for her, I mean, I'm not preparing her a lunch. She has to have, but what she does need to have is food, you know, basically readily available that she can make herself. So that still requires thinking on the part of the shopper, who at this point is me. Uh-huh. And so, you know, again, for them, like lowering their stress level too, when they don't know, when their routine is all out of whack. Yeah, it's all connected. And, you know, I suddenly realize with some, maybe shame is too strong a word, but I suddenly realized that there are probably episodes years ago where I was complaining about packing school lunches, you know, way back when I was like packing a lunchbox for my kid and how much I resented it. And now I would just welcome being able to do that now. And I just pack a lunch, send her to school, the whole thing. I mean, it really is one of those, if you didn't mm-hmm. laugh, you'd cry moments. And
it's a journey.
Isn't it? Just, I mean, okay, seriously, I'll probably still cry after this episode. But I mean, we can see that there is some glimmer of strange humor in this. But
yeah.
Also, you know, these are real issues that we're all dealing with. And I guess the thing that I would say to close out this sort of framing part of what we're talking about is that if you are the food prepper, if you are the food shopper, if you are, you know, one of, you know, the partners who is doing food prepping and shopping, your mental health and, you know, calm really matters in this situation, you know?
Yep.
It's important. It's not just the food.
Yeah, I agree. And just a quick note, and then we can jump into our tips. But when you were saying about, you know, encouraging independence, you know, for sure with older kids, I also know we have a lot of younger kids, parents of younger kids who listen to our show. And I just wanted to encourage, I think I might have said this on a previous episode, except I can't remember which one, that this is a great time to start, you know, encouraging some of that independence and forming it specifically around those transitions, because I'm finding, especially for Violet, who's a fourth grader, you know, the transitions are pretty quick. And the idea of like me toggling every 45 minutes or whatever it is, like it made me panicky before we started school. So this was just like, our systems were actually pretty well in place, but like just little tweaks, like having a snack basket that's easily accessible or a shelf that's easily accessible. So kids can help themselves when it's snack time. So you don't always have to be getting up to do that stuff. Just those little tweaks are really, really important.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yep. All right. Well, let's jump in, Asha. I'm going to start with a systems thing, and it's a little humbling. And I guess my general comment is to consider tweaking your system if you realize that your system is making you crazy. So I have talked before. It's funny how you mentioned like past episodes where you're like, I don't want to make lunch anymore, and now sort of wishing you could make lunch. But it's kind of like that. Like I remember talking on previous episodes about how much I loved my grocery app. And so I had just a simple one to make a grocery list. And then when I was sort of in pandemic freakout mode about expired food and what we had in our, since we were building up more of a food supply in our sort of downstairs area, I leveled up and I found an app where you could actually track inventory, put in expiration dates, all that sort of thing. So I was like, this is a great idea. This is going to be amazing. And I'll say with complete humility that John was like, Are you sure you want to? This means that anytime somebody pulls something out from downstairs, we have to tell you. and anytime we want to add something to the list, we have to tell you, and that you're the gatekeeper. I'm like, it's fine. I want to manage it. I need control of the situation because I'm the grocery shopper, right? So at the beginning, it was really fun. Vi helped me input all the data for all the food. And then I realized it was making me so grumpy and miserable. So I went back to a paper list that, and I'll share a link to an Instagram. I shared a picture of it. It's so boring looking and so basic, but it's not even checkboxes. It's not fancy. It's just blank spaces for different categories. And it sits on the fridge so that whenever anybody wants to add to the list, they add it. And I am no longer the gatekeeper. Mm-hmm. And now my life is like 800% better.
Mm-hmm. This is such a, like, there and back again. You know what I mean?
Right? It's ridiculous.
Well, I mean, you know, we're laughing about this. First of all, it's not ridiculous. I think the fact is, you know, humor me while I just point out the bigger picture here. I think the fact is, this pandemic, I mean, like, we've really had to do so many things so differently. I mean, mm-hmm. this is obvious, but we also have to do the things that help us feel safe and okay. And for a while in the beginning, that was, you know, something like writing expiration dates in an app. I mean, maybe at this point, it sort of feels like, wow, I was really that's pretty intense. But at the time, there was a good reason for it. And it was all about, you know, sort of making yourself feel safe, making your family safe, mm-hmm. doing all that stuff. And so I really feel like I just want to sort of normalize that, because let me just say, Christine, I have a big package of industrial sized toilet paper downstairs. Mm-hmm. Okay. Like from a commercial toilet paper company.
Did it have to arrive on a pallet?
No, it didn't have to arrive on a pallet. I was not one of those people who hoarded toilet paper and, you know, emptied supplies from grocery stores. I did not do that, but I did purchase something from like a commercial toilet paper company. And I'm sort of looking at that going, you know, I mean, you're probably going to be using that for the next 3 years, you know, and it's little
that's
funny.
A lot of TP. Yeah.
It's maybe not 3 years. It is a little funny now, but it made sense then. So
yes, for sure.
So let me just say that to all of you out there who have your systems that require tweaking.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. That's a good point.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so I think the thing about my system, I've always had a pretty lightweight meal planning system. To call it a system might even be an overstatement. It's just I, you know, sort of sit for a few minutes and jot down a few things that I think I might want to make the next week. And that's how I do my shopping. But that system also relied on browsing the produce aisle, mm-hmm, which is mm-hmm. something that I really love to do. I've always loved grocery shopping. I mean, not when I had little kids, when I had a little more time and space to myself, I just like looking at the produce. And I don't do that now. And so in that respect, even my lightweight meal planning system doesn't exactly work. Mm-hmm. So, you know, even I've had to do tweaking. So I think, you know, tweaking is just the name of the game right now. But I'm really glad you pointed that out. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, building upon that, you know, I'll just say, if you don't have a system for food or shopping, this would be a really great time to create a system. Now, let me be very, very clear. In this mentally overwhelming period of time that we're all in, I am not talking about a complicated system. I am literally talking about maybe, you know, marking a weekly spot on your calendar where you sit down and just think a little bit about what you want to eat the next week. Or, like Christine said, maybe, you know, having a list in categories just, you know, tacked up on your fridge, or thinking about the things that you get every single week and writing those things down on a list so that you don't have to rewrite them on mm-hmm. your list. Mm-hmm. Just simple things like that you may never have needed to do, just because you could, you know, like maybe you're a weekly grocery store wanderer or whatever. Maybe you didn't need that before, but maybe you need it now. So I think this is a good moment to just, you know, again, no shame. It's not like you should have been doing this before, but maybe if there are some things you can do now, this is a good time to think about it.
Yeah, just whatever is simple and easy to like help you need to think less.
Mm-hmm. Less thinking. Yes.
Yeah, less thinking is good. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I'm excited. We have a lot more to talk about around food, Asha, and we will do that after a quick break.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Therapy obviously isn't easy, but I believe it is legit one of the best gifts you can give yourself. I have benefited from therapy both for processing historical wounds as well as dealing with difficult current day situations and people. It's just so valuable to have another person who is 100% there for you. And all of this work has helped me show up better for myself and also as a partner, mom, friend, family member, and business owner. If you're thinking of starting or returning to therapy, give BetterHelp a try. This online therapy platform was designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Take a moment. Visit betterhelp.com/edit today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, spelled HELP.com/edit. People often talk about the impact of things like stress, hormone fluctuations, and nutrition on skin, but did you know those things impact your hair too? If you've been dealing with hair thinning, you are not alone, and Nutrafol is here to help. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist-recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster-growing hair with less shedding. I appreciate that they offer formulas tailored to different life stages, such as postpartum and menopause, as well as different lifestyles, such as plant-based diets. In a clinical study, 86% of women reported improved hair growth after taking Nutrafol Women's Hair Growth Supplement for 6 months. Take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering Edit Your Life listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code EDIT. Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and hairstylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. That's Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, and use promo code EDIT. That's Nutrafol.com using promo code EDIT. Okay, friends, we are back. We're talking about food, one of our favorite subjects. And I'm going to kick off this section of the show talking about outdoor dining, because we have, we were kind of very, or it took us a while to get there. In fact, we've only gone out twice to patio experiences. And I guess my recommendation is specifically based on our sort of lukewarm experience. And in one case, we had planned ahead and made a reservation, but had sort of forgot that the restaurant that we were going to is already like is usually pretty slow, and the food was okay, but not great. And then the second experience was more recent, and John and I actually decided on a last minute date night, like our first date night since the pandemic. But we hadn't planned in advance. So we went to a place that had a bunch of outdoor seating restaurants, and we basically got our third choice because either our first choice was closed, the second choice was had a 40-minute wait. And the food was just unbelievably mediocre. So the company was fabulous and it was so great to be out. But I did have a moment of like, wow, we just spent like a bunch of money on a meal that was like super mediocre. So my recommendation, and I'm, I guess, feeling a little bit more like, okay, if we're going to do another patio dining thing, we have to make it good because we only have a limited time before things get really cold here. So I just recommend if you are going to go out somewhere, just, you know, plan in advance a little, see if you can make a reservation. Not all places will allow that, which is a little, you know, part of the tricky. If that's the case, go out at like 4 p.m. But just make sure you're going somewhere that you love and is really yummy. So you don't sort of like waste your outdoor dining opportunity the way that I did.
Yeah,
it was fine. The company was great, but it was really like, wow, that food was super mediocre.
We have not been to any restaurants at all. No patio dining. I realize that I'm pretty conservative in terms of what I am willing to do sort of out and about with other people. And I realize that patio dining is not one of those things. So I have not had that experience, but it is interesting, you know, when it's just like, huh, how is this food actually, you know? Which is not to say that, you know, like you said, you kept saying the company was wonderful. It was probably just a lovely thing to be sitting outside, you know, with John, having, you know, a way to have a conversation that's different, not inside your house. But yeah, no, I haven't done that.
I get it. It's not for everyone. I will say I was pretty impressed because the second place, the place we went for date night, like you didn't touch a menu. You scanned a QR code to get access to the menu. Like it was very interesting to see the way that people have adapted.
Yeah, no, it is fascinating. And so many of these independent restaurants, small businesses are just doing such innovative things to make it through this period of time, which is so difficult. I also know a lot of cities, actually Portland, and I really should go and check it out. A lot of cities have done some really wonderful things with outdoor dining, you know, claiming space on the street to create outdoor spaces. So anyway, good. Actually, this is encouraging me to just explore a little further afield. So But then let me talk about takeout, because we have done takeout, which I do love. We have adopted a new quote unquote rule around my house, which is that I, Asha, do not think about food on the weekends.
Love it.
I am the weekday food person. On weekends, we either get takeout or we scrounge around and, you know, like figure out whatever we've got in the fridge. And it is a really wonderful thing. So that means I have been exploring a little bit more Portland's takeout food scene, which is wonderful. But I will say that I've had a couple of experiences like you have, Christine, where it's like, you know, you sort of go through the, I mean, it's not an insignificant amount of effort to like figure out what you're doing, call ahead and order, drive over there and get the food, you know, the whole thing. Just in, you know, and in the end, the food is sort of like okay and cold. And it's like, all right, why did I do this? I'm not sure if I actually saved myself any work, but I certainly didn't save myself any money. So I have used, I now have a different sort of set of standards in my head for takeout. And what that's done is it's given me, actually, I've discovered lots of new food. And so it's really interesting, including, by the way, sushi. I never thought about takeout sushi before because that just, I don't know, somehow that just didn't compute. But sushi is a fabulous takeout food because you don't have to heat it up. It just kind of comes in its own little box and it's perfect. And we felt so special at my house eating this fancy sushi and it tasted delicious. So anyway, I think it my tip is not unlike Christine's about, you know, really thinking about not only what is delicious, but what sort of translates well as takeout. And that's where you should be spending your money and, you know, spending your time.
Yeah. And a little edit or addition to that is stuff that you wouldn't necessarily make at home, you know, like sushi, like I never make it home. So it's totally a treat. We have the same feeling about a fabulous Thai place that we'll do takeout from. And I just never cook Thai. Like I've looked at recipes and then been like, oh, it feels hard. So yeah, I definitely recommend, you know, exploring takeout for places that you don't usually go to. Although I will say that the other night it was Tuesday. And Laurel said, got back from whatever she was doing and was like, it's Taco Tuesday. Do you want me to like bike up to the local taqueria and get tacos? And I was like, for some reason, I was hemming and hawing. I have no idea why. But
what?
She,
Christine,
I don't
who
know.
Are you?
I think I was being a martyr, probably, honestly. And so, but she went and she came back with like a dozen tacos. And I think I just groaned with joy the whole time eating. It was so good. It was such a relief.
It's so amazing. I'm just like thinking to myself, I want Laurel to bike to my house with tacos. I want Laurel to bike to my house anyway. She wouldn't even have to have tacos.
Oh my gosh. And they held up well in transit, which was good. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, so I think it's interesting that you said, and also I love that you said that you are off duty with food on the weekends because I have found that during the weekdays, I'm, you know, the key food prepper, and it's really chaotic because I'm juggling all the other things. Whereas on the weekend, I'm still the key food prepper, but it doesn't bother me because I'm not dealing with emails and work and all that stuff. And so I actually love weekend food prep and wanted to recommend that in order to kind of like set you up for the week. So for example, and I'm going to maybe look into see if I've, oh, I definitely have a good bread recipe I'll include in our show notes. But for example, I'll like make a double batch of zucchini and pumpkin bread. And that sets us up for easy breakfast. You know, I'll put one loaf in the fridge, one in the freezer, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. I usually do two like super loaded trays of roasted vegetables, which sets us up for easy meals all through the week. A batch of brown rice or some other kind of grain that'll serve as a base. And then thanks to you, Asha, cooking and freezing batches of beans if we're running low because we eat so many tacos and quesadillas.
I'm happy to see that. I'm like cooking beans.
I haven't bought a can of beans in ages. It's amazing.
Oh, man.
But that is my favorite because then during the week, it just makes everything else easy and people can help themselves and that, you know, it's good.
That sort of doesn't count to me as weekend food. Like food prep because you're setting yourself up for the week. I guess for me, it's more like the thinking about like when someone comes up to me on the weekend and says, what are we going to have for dinner? I'll say, I don't do food on weekends. Mm-hmm, that's my answer. And I don't even, there's not a trace of I mean, I literally say it straight. It's just a reminder. But but anything that reduces you, the thinking about food during the week, to me doesn't count. I think this is genius. And I also love, I actually find that I get a lot more creative with food on the weekend for the same reason.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay, well then from there, I think it is worth thinking, listeners, this is a tip. Listeners, I think it's worth thinking about what your favorite easy foods are, because I don't know about you. I sometimes forget what it is my family actually likes to eat. Like, I get so in a rut with what I'm cooking that I forget there are other easy meals that I could easily do, which they actually like. So one of them, before I forget, I want to talk to you about actually is Thai food, Christine. I already have in mind something you're going to be getting in the mail soon, because you just said,
what?
Okay, no, I've just figured out while we're talking, you're like, Thai food, that's hard. No, Thai food is the easiest because Thai curry paste is the easiest. And curry paste mixed with coconut milk and a couple other very simple things that you have sitting around your house, that is the base for any sort of roasted vegetables or added anything that you have sitting around. And that is one of my favorite easy foods, Thai curry.
Okay.
Which, by the way, I made like 3 nights ago, and I topped with a sliced banana. And let me tell you, that was like a genius brainstorm. I came up with that on my own. Sliced banana on top of spicy curry.
Wow. Just,
you heard it here.
I know. You heard it here first.
Yes. Like the other thing that we were talking about, and this brings me back to my winter squash hint at the beginning of this episode.
People, you should have heard Asha talking about the squash. Okay, no, you're going to hear her now, but it was really hilarious when we were talking about it.
If you've never heard of delicata squash, mm-hmm. which is a relatively small winter squash, it's sort of cream colored with green stripes, orange stripes. It is the best winter squash because you can, first of all, cut it without like maiming yourself with a large knife. You know how winter squashes are. Butternut, love it, but it's hard to cut.
So hard.
You can... Once you cut that thing and, you know, scrape the seeds out, you don't have to peel it. You could just roast it and then eat the peel. It is delicious, easy. It's the best squash. You need to go buy some delicata squash. So that's one of my favorite easy foods. I also am a roasted vegetable fanatic. So, you know, and I think it's worth ending this little tip by saying, yes, your family might get sick of some of the meals that you cook over and over again. That's okay. They're not going to, you know, I think, again, it's important for you to be able to sometimes prioritize your own mental sort of calm and space so that you can just make some things that are simple. I just want to remind you that right now there's a lot happening in life, and that is a form of self-care, you know, sort of creating things that are easy for you and not maintaining the same standards that you would at another time in life. Mm-hmm. And I just think that's important. You know, that's important to remember.
Yeah. And I'll also add that if they don't like what you're making, they can make something themselves. Like there are times when I've, you know, had my roasted vegetables out and people are like, oh my gosh, more roasted vegetables. I'm like, go find something yourself. And people make quesadillas or they make hot dogs or whatever. They shall survive.
Yes, they shall survive. And I do want to point out that we actually did an episode way back when called Easy Pantry Dinners.
We sure did.
And yeah, so that would be actually a great episode to reference as well. Yes. We probably talked about roasted vegetables knowing us.
Yeah, we will link it up. All right, friends, we have more to discuss. We will do that after a quick break.
Understood is a resource I have recommended for many years to parents looking for support with learning and thinking differences such as ADHD, dyslexia, and more. And I'm subsequently excited to tell you about their podcast, Understood Explains. This season, the show is hosted by teacher and special education expert Juliana Urtube, and it's all about how to navigate individual education plans, also known as IEPs. They cover topics such as how to tell if your child needs an IEP, common myths about special education, and the difference between IEPs and 504 plans. I love how Understood Explains breaks down the overwhelm by unpacking an important topic each season and then drilling down further into key basics in each episode. Most episodes are between 10 to 15 minutes, and episodes are available in both English and Spanish. So fantastic, right? To listen to Understood Explains, search for Understood Explains in your podcast app. That's Understood Explains wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi there, I'm Andrea Owen, self-help author with 19 translations of my books, global keynote speaker, and life coach. My podcast, Make Some Noise, has been serving up self-help in a simple-to-digest way for the last decade. The topics brought in each episode are practical and easy to implement around topics such as working through fears that keep you stuck, different modalities of therapy, managing your negative self-talk, and more. We bring you guest experts, solo episodes, and I even coach listeners on the air around relatable struggles. I also do my best to weave my sense of humor into some heavy topics because, let's face it, life can be pretty hard, and it's so much better when we can have some fun while walking through our challenges. Whether you're seasoned in personal development or just starting out, Make Some Noise podcast will help you become the best version of yourself, the person you're proud of when you look in the mirror and show up in your life. Simply search Make Some Noise with Andrea Owen wherever you listen to your podcasts.
All right, folks, we are back. And just to close this out here, I want to remind you that you can still swap dinner with your friends or plan a socially distant meal outside. This is something that I want to bring up because I don't know about you, but I just in some ways, I sort of stopped socializing with friends around food when the pandemic started, and I haven't really reintegrated that into our day-to-day life. And recently we had dinner with another family in our neighborhood. It was socially distant. It was on their back porch. We were far away. And the fact is, it was such an incredible joy that I realized, why haven't we been doing this? We can do this. And I just needed an experience to remind me that it was possible. And so I just want to put that out there to you, because in many ways, the joy of cooking and food is the joy of sharing time together. And I know that is something that so many of us are missing. And so if that's something that would help you reconnect to food, I want to encourage you to plan something like that. If you don't have a back porch, maybe you can, you know, put together some food and meet some friends at a nearby park, you know, and sit far apart and just eat your meal. But I know that eating a meal with friends just really It just reminded me how much I love doing it, and it filled a little hole I didn't even realize was there.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the social, this is both a food plus mental health tip because it really, it's important to see people. And, you know, I haven't done it quite as often, but the times we have done it, it's just been lovely. And I will also say we had one get together with two other couples, like right in town, where we just, I think just because of the timing and also to keep it less complicated, we just met up for drinks and snacks. We didn't even bother with a full meal, and it was just lovely to chat and sit. And so I plus one that, and also want to say, you know, right now is so hard for kids. And so if your kids are struggling, I would also suggest that if there's a way to coordinate like a lunch date for them, like that also is great. I only bring that up because, you know, one of Violet's best friends lives right in the neighborhood. And earlier this week, her mom was like, how about they meet up for their lunch and recess hour? And I was like, genius. Like, why weren't we doing that before?
Right.
So, you know, it helps a lot with the mental health, I will say. Okay. My last tip of the episode, and you refer to our easy pantry meals idea, but it was top of mind. Also, the tip is to stock up on easy freezer or pantry items. And the reason this is top of mind for me right now is that since the school year started, I've definitely had many moments of like, OMG, I cannot cook again. And then also with the change of season, I've noticed I'm just craving different things, like stuff that I had not craved at all during the pandemic, like gluten-free pasta. Like pasta, I'm not usually a big pasta person, but recently I was kind of craving it. Also soups. And so I've stocked up on like just boxed soups. So we have it around, you know, just things like that. Really easy things that, you know, you can just like grab and make within like 10 minutes.
And which sort of leads me to also suggest that if that is you, then also maybe look at your freezer container stash. And if you need to, you know, add to that a little bit so that you can make things and freeze them, you know, maybe just pick up a few extra containers or something like that too.
Yeah. Super good. Oh, this was fun, Asha. Yeah, so let's close things out. What is your next edit for this episode?
All right. My next edit is to find a new local takeout place to try this weekend. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, like look beyond where you usually go and do a little Googling and see what you can find locally that you haven't tried before.
Yeah. I love that. I love that.
What about
that.
You?
Well, I'm going to loop back to the beginning of the episode, and I'm going to say that I would like for people to choose a food-related action that will remove you as the gatekeeper.
Smart.
Yeah. And I'll link up my paper list in our show notes, but if anybody wants it, I could just like make it into a... No, I think it already is a Google Doc. I can link to that in the show notes. I'll just do that.
Ah, food. Mm-hmm. Well, folks, we hope that this has given, you know, this episode has given you some ideas for, you know, what to cook, what to eat, what to shop for. You'll find the show notes for this episode, including links to all the resources we've mentioned, plus lots of great related episodes at edityourlifeshow.com.
And this week, we'd like to know, what is one of your favorite fall go-to recipes? Asha, I just love it when people share what they're cooking. It's so awesome.
I know. It is. It really is. And it's like, sometimes you just want to know what other people are doing.
Absolutely. All right, friends. So to do that, hop over to facebook.com/edityourlifeshow and look for the question of the week pinned to the top of the page, or chat with us on Instagram at edityourlifeshow. Thanks for listening.
Hey, are you a parent of a teenager? Are you feeling overwhelmed about how to be what they need while also holding limits and boundaries that keep them safe? Are you tired of conversations that negate how messy this season of parenting is? Well, I've got you. My name is Casey O'Rourke. I am a positive discipline trainer, parent coach, and the host of the Joyful Courage podcast. Every week, I come to you with an interview, digging into tough topics with experts I trust and solo shows that go deep into the personal growth and mindset needed to raise teens in a way that grows them into confident, capable young people. I am not afraid of getting real about the intersection of conscious parenting and the teen years, while also bringing in vulnerability, humor, and lightness. I'm walking the path with you and honored to serve. Listen to Joyful Courage on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you consume podcasts.